Englandy. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to another team announcement edition of Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. In this episode, we catch up with marathon runner Jess Trengove, who is part of the first 14 athletes selected in the athletics team for the Gold Coast. But before we speak with Jess, and as we count down with just 11 Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. Commonwealth Games Australia this week confirmed the first 14 members of the 111-strong athletics team to compete on the Gold Coast. Australian team chef de mission Steve Monaghetti joined para-athletics world champion Isis Holt and marathon runners Jess Trengove and Lisa Waitman at the Melbourne Cricket Ground for the announcement. Waitman, the bronze medalist at Delhi, and Trengove, a bronze medalist from Glasgow, will join defending men's champion Michael Shelley at the head of a six-strong marathon lineup. At only 16 years of age, Isis Holt is likely to be one of Australia's youngest athletes at the Games. The T35 100 and 200 metre world champion will line up in the 100 metres on the Gold Coast, and will be joined by sprint world champion Evan O'Hanlon, long jumper Erin Cleaver, 1500-metre wheelchair athlete Madison Di Rosario, and shot putter Cameron Crombie in the first para-athletics section selections. The full story and the team is on the Commonwealth Games Australia website, and we'll speak with Jess Trengove after the news. Meanwhile, Sally Pearson's 2018 100-metre hurdles campaign got underway at the Perth Track Classic last weekend. The world champion and reigning Commonwealth Games champion in the event ran a solid 12.73 seconds to win the event. Pole vaulter Curtis Marshall showed why he'll be one of the favourites for the gold on the Gold Coast, leaping to a new personal best of 5.78 metres, and Tasmanian sprinter Jack Hale produced a swift 100-metre time of 10.10 seconds, only to be denied a Games qualifier by an illegal following wind. In triathlon, how about this story? 28-year-old Newcastle triathlete Lauren Parker could well become one of the stories of the 2018 Games. The former Ironman triathlete, who was second in her age group in the World Ironman Championships in 2015, is now confined to a wheelchair after an horrific and freakish bike accident last April crushed her career and changed her life forever. Parker's accident left her without any feeling from the waist down after she crashed into a guardrail while travelling at about 45 kilometres an hour during a training session near Raymond Terrace after she punctured both tyres. Parker sustained broken ribs, a punctured lung, broken scapula, broken pelvis and a broken back. But 9 months later, and after months of rehabilitation and after only 6 weeks in a racing chair and hand cycle, Parker pushed her hand cycle and racing chair for 28 kilometres around the streets of Melbourne St Kilda Beach in her one and only chance to win Games selection as a para-triathlete. Race organisers had to cancel the swim because of poor water quality, turning the race from a triathlon into a duathlon, a run-bike-run, and Parker was second across the line behind Gold Coaster Sarah Tate, and with two discretionary nominations available, it's almost certain that both Tate and Parker will join ITU world champion Emily Tapp in a three-strong Australian team when the para-triathlon makes its Games debut. There are also two discretionary selections available in the Australian men's team, and former motocross champion and newly crowned Australian hand cycle time trial and road race champion Alex Walsh was first across the line ahead of South Australia's experienced racer Scott Crowley. Either Walsh or Crowley are expected to get the nomination in early February behind automatic nominee Bill Chaffee and his fellow Gold Coaster Nick Beveridge, who was fourth in the World Championships in Rotterdam last year. in beach volleyball. Australia's number one ranked beach volleyball pairing of Chris McHugh and Damien Schumann have all but secured their spot as Australia's men's pairing for this year's games. McHugh and Schumann were pushed all the way at last weekend's Adelaide Open, the second of three Commonwealth Games selection events, fending off their number two challengers, Zach Schubert and Cole Durant, in the semi-finals in a Tufts three-setter. The duo ended up going down in the final to Casey Grice and Holland's Bart Bolsterley, and despite the loss, the Australian men's coach Andrew Schack says that McHugh and Schumann are still the front-runners for Commonwealth Games selection. The women's race is wide open after Australia's highest-ranked player, Taliqua Clancy, was forced out of the event with an ongoing foot injury. Clancy's regular partner and last week's guest on Gold Coast Gold, Maria Faye Attachaldosola, continues to impress, but she fell short of winning the gold medal in Adelaide with stand-in partner Stephanie Weller as they went down to the Dutch pair. After the match, Del Sola said she does hope to get back on the court with Clancy as soon as possible to keep their Commonwealth Games dream alive. The third and final Commonwealth Games selection event takes place next month in Perth. In lawn bowls, the Australian bowls team blue ribbon singles positions for the Gold Coast Games have been announced, with a rising young star and one of the sport's most prolific competitors getting the spots. Commonwealth Games debutant Aaron Wilson, 26, will face a baptism of fire after being handed the plum men's singles position, while the nation's most capped international representative, Karen Murphy, 43 years of age, has secured the women's honour for a record-breaking sixth game appearance. In netball, the quad series between Australia, South Africa, England and New Zealand kicks off this weekend in London before moving to Johannesburg next week. It's the final tournament before the games team will be announced. The Hockey Roos have opened their test series against Spain with 2-1-all draws in the opening two games in Perth. Our swimmers return to the pool for the New South Wales State Championships as the Commonwealth Games selection trials draw closer. More than 20 members of the Dolphins lineup will be in action, including Mac Horton, Kate and Bronte Campbell, Brittany Elmsley, Emma McKeon, James Magnussen and Cam McAvoy, as they join internationals from Japan, New Caledonia, Italy, Korea, Sweden and Argentina. And finally, in cycling, Australia's women have taken a clean sweep of the stage wins at the Women's Tour Down Under, while Amanda Spratt and Katrin Garfoot secured three of the tour's jerseys. Spratt survived a crash in the final stage to secure her second Women's Tour Down Under general classification win, while Garfoot finished third overall and claimed the sprinter's jersey. In the men's race, super sprinter Caleb Ewan claimed a stage win on stage two of the event. The track cycling nomination trials get underway at the Anna Marie Mears Velodrome in Brisbane, the venue for the Games, from February 1. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games news. First 14 athletes selected for the athletics team for the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Combination of some distance runners, the marathon, 10,000, and also some of our para-athletes, headed by the defending champion in the men's marathon, Michael Shelley, our bronze medalist from Glasgow, Jess Trengove, medalist from Delhi, Lisa Waitman, and the Paralympic champions, Evan O'Hanlon and Isis Holt. So, strong team. We'll hear more about that a little bit later, but I'm joined by Jess Trengove, who's off to her second Commonwealth Games, the marathon runner. What a great experience here at the MCG today. Of course, we all remember Kerry McCann's amazing 2006 Commonwealth Games. It must be a good feeling for you to know that you're on the team.
Oh, absolutely. Today's a really special one. Melbourne's put on the sunshine for us, and it was great to catch up with Lisa and Isis here today, and I'm just so excited about the coming months. To have a Commonwealth Games on home soil in my career is something that, you know, you really can't plan, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity, and it's a nice way to say to family and friends, do you want to come up to a beautiful part of our country and watch us run a marathon?
As we do on Gold Coast Gold, we jump around a bit in these sort of conversations, but when you've made the team, do you think back to, you know, the days when you were growing up in Narracourt, you know, running around the backyard and that country lifestyle, thinking, you know, here's another major marathon that I'm going to be representing my country at? Or is it just a bit, you don't get that deep? It's more, I'm here, it's another day, I've had a long run this morning, I've got other things to do, and I've just ticked the box, I'm in the team.
Yeah, look, I go through phases. So at the moment, I'm in a pretty heavy phase of training, and I am more thinking just about the day-to-day tick boxes, but you do go through some little flashback moments and, you know, sentimental thoughts, and particularly when I get together with my brother and sister, Abby and Jack, we love to reminisce about our childhood and, you know, those moments where we'd go on a family bike ride on the weekend and Jack would be pedalling like mad out the back, and as he grew up, he started to sort of take over. And I think that country upbringing was really important and helped to lay the foundations for, well, create a platform for me to take sport to the next level later on. So we had a lot of pine forest and sort of soft sand, and runs were really tough in Narracourt, but we had a real distance running culture, and I had some great, yes, role models ahead of me. And I really do love to go back to Narracourt when I can and catch up with, you know, a lot of my primary school teachers are still there teaching, so I'll hopefully get there in the next month or so just to catch up with the primary school, and then it'll be game on.
You went to boarding school?
I did.
In Adelaide?
Yes.
What was that like?
In year 10 I made the move to Annesley College, and it was really tough, actually. I was real homebody, I guess, and I got quite homesick, but I'm very glad that I stepped out of the comfort zone then, because it's set me up for later in life where I've had to step out of my comfort zone a lot, and I've had to, you know, travel around, be in that situation where I haven't known anyone and you've just got to start up a conversation with someone and find something in common. And that was definitely something I experienced at boarding school, you know, different food and different routines. It was really challenging to keep the running training up. I was fortunate to have a coach who'd come and pick me up, sign my leave. Well, I'd have to send my leave slips home for mum and dad to sign. This coach would come in, sign me out.
Every time you were training?
Twice a week.
Wow.
Yeah, he'd come and do that. So without Roger Pedrick's input there, I probably wouldn't have continued the running through my boarding school years, but it meant that when I finished boarding school and my family moved to Adelaide and I moved back in to a home environment, it all seemed a lot easier because, yeah, there were no leave slips and logistics to manage.
The transition from being... Mono used to have a saying that, you know, everyone starts off as a sprinter. It's not... He still is saying. And he became a marathon runner because he couldn't play soccer. So, you know, they put him in the goal. He didn't like being a goalkeeper, so away he went. When did your progression start to thinking that you're going to be a long-distance runner rather than a 1,500-metre runner or a 5,000-metre runner?
Yeah, well, I guess my Olympic dream began as a young girl watching TV, seeing Susie O'Neill, I listened to her podcast recently actually, winning, you know, medals in the pool. I was like, I want to be an Olympic swimmer one day, but I was a bit of a sinker in the pool. So yeah, I went on to play a lot of netball growing up and a bit of tennis and basketball. The basketball was probably good for my running development, but netball was where my dream was. I wanted to be a Thunderbird one day, and got to my 21st birthday, and Adam had just started coaching, my current coach Adam Diddick, and I was just starting to see a couple of improvements and maybe a bit of potential with running, and my brother was sort of kicking goals, you know, with footy. He was about to be drafted and my sister was rowing hard, and I thought, I want to give one sport a real go, and I think it's going to be running. So my 21st birthday marked, you know, stopped playing netball to focus on running, and it was a no-brainer that I'd be a distance runner because I just seemed to feel a lot more comfortable as the distance was, you know, longer.
So it's like, so just almost a light bulb, that's it, I'm going to make this decision and off I go.
I was really inspired by my siblings, and I thought, I want to look back one day and know that I've taken a sport to the highest level. Netball, whilst I loved it, I felt there were a lot of variables that were outside of my control. Running, it was pretty clear cut. If you hit the times, you know, you could control your destiny a little bit more. And I loved how with running I could just throw my sneakers on, I could do it anywhere, I could do it to my schedule. And so that's probably my main reason for going down the running path. And also having had those opportunities as a youngster to go to the Sydney Olympics and the 2006 Commonwealth Games, that to me was a real, just an inspiring phase of my life.
What events did you watch in Sydney and in Melbourne?
In Sydney, I can still remember the moment. It was the last ballot and we got tickets. We got basketball, swimming, tennis, and athletics, and I can remember just dancing around my sister. We were just over the moon, and we drove.
Whole family?
Yep, as a family. We stayed about an hour out of Sydney in a caravan park and caught this hectic bus in every day, and then you'd be getting home at 1 a.m. and everyone would be singing and dancing. So I can't really say which sport was my favourite.
So you would have been 13?
13, yep. So I just ran at my first nationals, the cross country, and that was a 3K event, so seeing anything above 5K just seemed insane. Who would want to run that many laps of the
track? It's a pretty good 5K. Well, they had some amazing distance events at the Sydney Olympics. Gebrselassie and Turgat and Sonia and Sabo and the 5000 and etc. So amazing. But what about the Commonwealth Games? What are your memories of Melbourne?
So it's funny. I'd say as a primary school student, having just run nationals, I went to Sydney Olympics really inspired, thinking I want to make the Olympics one day. By the time the Commonwealth Games came around in 06, I think I was in a bit of a teenage phase where I was just playing a lot of social sport, and I'd gone to the uni games, but still playing netball, and I didn't have as much belief. I was watching, but there was quite a disjoint. I didn't see that really being me one day. But a family friend, Grant Dower, did say to me, like, this could be you one day, and I did think that was a pretty crazy statement, but you know, maybe that did just plant the seed. And I think we watched mainly athletics at that games, and I remember seeing Craig fall over in the 1500, and I was shattered for him, and then his 5000 metres, and then Karen, her marathon.
Were you in the stadium or were you out on the roads?
Out on the roads, yeah. And then watched the TV footage of her finishing, and it was just such a special moment. And I've heard a lot about, you know, Karen in the years that have followed, and her tenacity and courage and just her caring nature, and she's the epitome of, you know, an Australian, a marathon runner, and I think we'll all be drawing a lot of inspiration from Karen at the coming Commonwealth Games, and I know Lisa was close to her as well.
I just want to touch on the family. Your sister Abby's was a state rower, and Jack, captain of Melbourne, young player, but he's had so many injury problems. He must be a huge inspiration for not just you, but for his current teammates. Now he's back in Adelaide playing for Port Adelaide this season, which is great news. But what an horrendous run he's had.
Yeah, and injury problems aside, I'm so proud of Jack just for his character. He's really grown a lot. He moved out of home to Melbourne as a 18, 19 year old, and he's just a very level, consistent guy who you just want to listen to. Like, every word he said is, he thinks about it, and he's very sort of wise beyond his years. So I've always looked to Jack for those chats if I'm a bit sure of where I am in life, or I'm, you know, feeling like I'm going through a bit of a rough patch. So I really respect the way Jack goes about things, and I'm so happy to see him actually kicking some real goals with the running at the moment. Like, he's just loving having a foot that's working for him again. So he's really enjoying his current situation, and I love just being able to compare running times and whatnot with him again. We've had about 3 years where we couldn't even talk about running. It was all about watt bike sessions, which I didn't really understand.
I have to say, I read a hilarious story in the Adelaide Advertiser just last week where it said, the former Melbourne captain and brother of Australian marathon runner Jess, which I reckon is a turnaround for you. You're the South Australian Sports Star of the Year last year, which is tremendous. But I reckon that's the first story I've read where it's not Jess, brother of Melbourne captain.
Mum made a little cheeky comment. He saw that too.
You've got that going for you. Let's go back to the running and your first marathon. The marathon, you know, you would have heard Deke's podcast and Mono and the great Australian tradition of the marathon, but it's such a romantic event, the marathon, as well, when you're watching it. It's not too romantic when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Your first one was March 2012, and I think, what will Gold Coast be, your 10th?
Yeah.
10th marathon, 9th in London, where you finished 9th and all the 9s. Do you like it? Do you like the marathon?
Yeah, it's crazy. I actually love it. I love what it does for the world as well, and health and people. I guess being a physio, I've been in an environment where I see people who just dabble a little bit with running. They're like, they reluctantly might set themselves a goal of a 10K, and then they get the bug, and then it's a half marathon, and then often New York Marathon is sort of that one that people want to aim for straight up. But it's just, being part of this movement where it, like, a lot of people can relate to it, and that's what I love about marathon running too. I can run with anyone, you know, around the streets of Adelaide, and we can understand each other, and we all go through the same feelings. It doesn't matter.
Do we?
It takes you 5 hours or 2.5.
I'm not sure we all.
People are on the road for longer, so they probably feel it more.
So at what point do you, you know, Deke always would say in commentary that there's always a point in the race where you just want to sit down on the side of the road and stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the punter, that probably comes after about 10K, and you've got, you know, a long way to go. Do you, the mental aspect of the marathon, can you conquer it? Have you ever conquered it? Do you ever say, that was it, I've nailed that one, that was my perfect race?
Yeah, it's interesting. They've all been quite different. My first marathon to qualify for the London Olympics was, my body wasn't quite ready yet. Like, I didn't have as much conditioning under my belt, I guess. And so I really felt this tearing muscle sort of pain, and that's what
can't be
I
good.
Felt was my limiting factor.
For 42K?
No, well, from 21 kilometres I started to feel vulnerable, and I remember the last probably 4 kilometres, but knowing that that time was potentially there for me got me through, and then I was able to strengthen up a fair bit more before the London Olympics. But, you know, I've had a hot one in Moscow where hydration was everything, and then that one in Glasgow where I'd had my first injury beforehand, and it relied a lot on cross-training and sort of, yeah, that was a different race again, where you're sort of coming through and getting that real energy and the endorphins towards the end. But the recent one in the World Champs was a race that just went so quickly in my mind. I think I was so excited for the race and so engaged in the race and in the pack the entire time. I'd never had that before, where you're constantly responding to moves and jostling with the girls in the pack. And I feel like that's the race where I was definitely the strongest and was able to, surge when I needed to. And, you know, those final 3Ks are a blur, and I honestly can't really remember much other than the final, you know, section up Tower Bridge where I saw the girl in 10th and thought, sorry, in 9th, and thought I could get the 9th place here. But that point for me where you want to sit down often comes more at like 25 kilometres because I'm anticipating the pain. It's that point where you've still got a long way to go. You're not really struggling yet, but you know that it's going to come soon, and you just...
I'm not sure there's an event like it. Yeah. I'm sure the 1500 metre swimmers say a similar thing. You know, you're screaming pain for the last part of the race, and it's, you know, I've run one marathon. I totally get what you're saying about sharing that experience, because it's just putting one foot in front of the other. And if you can do it, there's so many pavement pounders that do it. But the mental aspect is just extreme. Your injuries, you talked about Glasgow, and you spent so much time, you know, cross-training and in the gravity runner and all that, to the point where it didn't look for a little while that you were even going to get to the start line. How are you at the moment? Because for a number of years you've had, you know, those significant injuries that you've really struggled to do the training that's required. Has the last year or so been much better?
Yeah, well, look, Glasgow in 2014 being sort of my first stress fracture in my foot, and then 2 years ago, 2 years later, for it to happen before Rio was a real, I guess, frustration, because Rio in my mind had just been this event that I really wanted to nail, but at least I knew what I had to do. It was a similar type of injury on the other foot. It was probably... Yeah, picked up a little bit later and a bit more advanced than the Glasgow injury, so I had to have some more time off. And I'd been really excited about going to Flagstaff throughout May to do my altitude training, and instead got to see the walls of the gym every day, which was tough. But Rio taught me a lot. I feel like that was the most I've ever emptied myself. I crossed the line in Rio with absolutely nothing physical or mental left. I really...
On your birthday too.
Yeah, exactly. So I really enjoyed the whole Rio, like the experience there and the team vibe. And I knew that it was going to be tough, but I feel like I got as much as I could have out of myself. And I feel like that race experience really helped me in 2017. So I took a good you know, period of time off after Rio just to re-energise, I guess. And then 2017 ended up being a bonus year that had everything gone to plan in 2016. I think I would have taken it a bit easy in 2017. Instead, I was fired up and ready to go, took my learnings, strengthened up the areas I needed to, and ended up achieving more than I could have imagined in 2017, sort of the London Marathon experience and then World Champs. So it turned into a positive, but hopefully I know the warning signs better now and I can avoid these.
And you're good at the moment? You're doing full training?
It's been a busy phase of training, but I'm enjoying it. We've got a big group in Adelaide at the moment and they're all really fired up for, you know, the trials and what's coming up. So
fingers crossed. Just let's go quickly back to that Rio race, because the winner subsequently been banned. You know, it's just disgraceful, some of the things that have been going on, Kenyan athletics and the Russians in particular. How do you feel about all of that? When you look back on that race and you talked about your memories of it being so richly rewarding for you, but the winner of the race is a cheat.
Yeah, look, the winner of the race kind of became irrelevant to me because we're in a sport where we can really see our own improvement and getting a time to your name, and you can still get a lot of, satisfaction from that versus perhaps team sports where you can't see that improvement so easily. So whilst it really hurts me to see some of those things, and I watched that documentary recently, Icarus. Which is just horrendous.
Horrific.
I had no idea it was to that extent. But I've just got to keep getting excited by trying to better my own times. And, you know, it's a beautiful sport and we get to be out amongst some of the, you know, best parts of the world and with great people, and there's still a lot to love about it. And you kind of hope that people will start to see that and love the sport for what it is without needing to go to those extremes. But I think it's probably unrealistic to think it'll ever be completely eradicated, but certainly the world is doing its best to give some pretty severe penalties for those who do.
You talk about being out and about. I was fascinated by your New Year's Eve post of your Garmin stats in 2017. 7,528 kilometres. Average daily kilometres. This is the number of Ks was a bit of a surprise. Averaging 20K a day and 401,808 calories burnt in a year. But that is a serious amount.
I had a big appetite.
Given that you're still here and on there, you must eat a lot.
Yeah, I think it's because last year I sort of was training up for that April marathon and then decided to run World Champs in August, so had a little bit of downtime and then built up for August. And then was just on such a high and buzzing after World Champs that I sort of set my sights on the Melbourne half and then Zatopek. So I kind of didn't have any big lengths of time off last year and was fortunate that my body was, you know, doing the right thing by me, so could just get the training done. And certainly that 20K average a day, that's, you know, some days are a lot higher than that, with others a lot lower than that.
Still, average of 20, it's
half marathon.
That's got to hold you in great stead for 2018, that you've been able to get that much
hopefully
in the bank.
Yeah, no, I feel like I've got a good platform to build from.
We're nearly done. Tell me about your coach, Adam.
Yeah, it's a funny one. So in 2008, my coach, Roger, the one who'd been picking me up from the boarding house, he retired, and that's where I thought, okay, I'm probably just going to focus on netball now. And Adam was dating one of the girls in my running squad and just sort of offered to step in and help out while the group didn't have a coach. And I sort of hung in there for a little bit longer, and Adam was really pushing to, you know, jog on the days where I didn't have a session, and I was pretty reluctant, but he persisted and said, no, just give it a go. And I remember one day I was picking up Jack from footy training at Sturt, and I was a bit early, so I was like, oh, I'll give this little jog a go that Adam's been telling me to do. And I think I went for 15 or 20 minutes, and I came back and I felt great, and I was really proud to tell him the next day that I'd been for my double run. And he's like, great, so now on, you know, Friday or whatever, I want you to go for a bit further, and went from there, and I just started to see these improvements. And Madeline Heiner, now Hills, came to Adelaide soon after to do a Mother's Day fun run, and I decided to jump in that with her, and yeah, got this big sort of personal best, and that was it. I swayed from almost about to stop running to deciding, no, I'm going to stop netball and continue running. And Adam just built up this group and never looked back. So he was just stepping in temporarily while he recovered from an Achilles injury of his own. But unfortunately, that rehab didn't really go as planned. And so we went down the coaching path. And gee, so many of us are grateful. Like, it's created a whole new world of running in South Australia.
It's a winner, no doubt. It's a great combination. The Gold Coast Marathon. Australia's got a fantastic record in Commonwealth Games Marathon, starting with Lisa Martin on Deakey, winning the first two, and you know, Heather Turland and Karen Krishna and Jackie the Three in Manchester, which was fantastic, and Karen, and then Lisa, who'll be in the team, Lisa Waitman from Delhi, and you in Glasgow. It'd be nice to get back on top of the podium, though. And Kenyans have just announced their team today. So if you haven't seen them, as always with the Kenyans, there's, you know, it's a, so they've got a 2:30 marathon, a 2:35, but Sheila Jeretich, who's based in the US and has run 2:27, she looks like that's a serious time. So their three men are, they've got a 44-year-old and two 30-somethings who have, but I don't know, they haven't run too many marathons. I think Sheila's only run a couple. So probably the main dangers. Do you concentrate on that at all, or do you just focus on yourself? And
well, I mean, those stats are interesting to know, and Adam will really start to look at the finer details in that week leading up. But really it's about getting the ultimate prep done, you know, I guess for me, and then you work with what you've got on the day. But it's... yeah, you've got to basically prepare yourself for different race scenarios, and knowing who else is in the race can give you a bit of an idea of what the pace might start like.
And Lisa, of course, 2:25 PB, so yours is 2:27.01 from the London Marathon last year. And so Jeretich, 2:27.34. Yeah, it could be a fantastic race. Mm. And the marathon captivates people, as you know.
Mm.
On the television screens for 2.5 hours, people on the side of the road. We all remember Deke up against the Tanzanians. Do you think about that when you're running? What that moment's like, and envisaging people on the side of the road screaming for you?
Yeah, I do. There's this great photo of my family in Glasgow screaming that somebody took from the other side of the road as I ran past and then sent it to me after the race. And I get that picture in my head, and I have actually, because I've run the course on the Gold Coast, I sort of picture where on the course there might be crowds, and it gets me excited.
It should. Good luck. Best wishes for the preparation. Now, I'd like to say, in all of these, we're up to episode 32, I think this is. I've been counting down how many Fridays there are to go. This Friday, there's 11 Fridays to go to the Games.
That's insane.
Not many.
And just... yeah, in finishing the names you reeled off before, it's really special that a lot of those marathon runners are still there supporting us today. I received a Christmas card from Lisa on the Ethiopian.
Okay, South Australian?
Yeah, she just touches base.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Such an inspiration and a really just generous, humble, you know, caring person. And then, yeah, you've obviously got Mona and Deke who are doing great things in the world of running in Australia, and it's a very special event in that way. I love that legacy and the way people continue to stay involved with the sport.
Well, I reckon that the two that aren't here, Karen and Jackie Gallagher, they'll be cheering for you as well. So, as we all will. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.